This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
Welcome to this, our probably second or third in the series of curatorial talks about items from the collection, museum's collection, which will find their way into the new Australian Journeys Gallery. Jenny Wilson, the museum's curator, will talk to us about Nan Tray, which is... got a very interesting story, and following that, Jen is happy to take questions. And I'd also like you to know that there are a number of other curators from the Australian Journeys team who are here today, and including Martha Sear, who is heads up that team. And keep your eye out in the next issue. Oh, there she is, making an entry right on cue. And keep your eye out in the September issue of the Friends magazine, because there's a little bit of an intro to the Australian Journeys curatorial approach, and also some information about the next talks in the series, which I'll give you some more details about in the end. Jen's talk's being recorded for posterity, and also perhaps to find some its way onto the website, and that's another place to keep your eye out on the website, both the museum website but also the new Friends website, where we're keeping up-to-date information about these talks and other events. Without any more ado, I'd love to introduce Jenny Wilson to talk to you about the Nan Tray. Thanks, Jenny.
Basically, we're very pleased, as part of these talks, to actually have the real object here for everyone to see. So there'll be plenty of time at the end of the talk to, once you've heard all about it, to get a close-up look at the Nan Tray and make a few observations for yourself based on what I'm telling you and what you may also know from some of your experience with either instruments or Vietnamese tradition. Get started. The Nan Tray, translated simply as bamboo musical instrument, is an original creation by Minh Tam Nguyen, based on his knowledge of both Asian and European music. It was first made in Vietnam, then in the Philippines, and remade in Australia. This brief understanding of the instrument is what attracted our attention to it for consideration into inclusion in the Australian Journeys Gallery. Further investigation has secured its place in that exhibition and the wider research surrounding the gallery's development. The aims of the Australian Journeys Gallery are to represent the migrations, sojourns, and travels of people to and from Australia, and the social, economic, and political impacts of those journeys. And secondly, to reveal the transnational character of the Australian experience through the connections of Australian places to those overseas. This has led to a lot of interesting investigation into material culture, and the Nan Tray is one of these examples. The following object biography is one way to interpret this complex hybrid instrument as the Nan Tray continues its life in the National Museum of Australia's collection. The instrument features 23 wire strings attached to a bamboo tube 800 millimetres in length. It's a bit of a close-up of the strings, so you can see how it's all put together. A 4-litre olive oil tin acts as the resonator at the base. Mm-hmm. And the strings, actually number one guitar strings, are attached to metal tuning keys in the form of Australian-made stainless steel screw assemblies. And the length of bamboo is, as you can see, reinforced with Australian-made metal bracing. Nguyen was born in Binh Dinh province of central Vietnam on the 25th of November 1947. He began to learn to play the guitar when he was 13 years old and studied the theory of both modern and classical music. Nguyen then undertook further study in Vietnam with the Redemptionist Order, a Catholic order founded in Italy in 1732. He eventually left that order and began teaching music theory to high school students, which he continued for many years. During the 1970s, Nguyen fought as a lieutenant with the South Vietnamese or Army of the Republic of Vietnam. He began his service in 1968, graduating from the Political Warfare College of Dalat. He was captured by the Communist forces on the 20th of March 1975 and placed in a North Vietnamese re-education camp in the Central Highlands of Vietnam. Whilst in captivity, Nguyen created a musical instrument inspired by the traditional Montagnard instruments of that region, but with a greater number of strings. As Nguyen states, the Nan Tray was invented in the tea plantation, KTK, in Palukku province, during the time the Viet Cong forced me into hard labour with many other prisoners as well. A piece of bamboo, wire, and a tin were used to create the first Dan Tray. The strings of that instrument were made of the hard wire inside black telephone cable used by the United States Army, in fairly good supply by that stage. The instrument, as Nguyen explained, evolved from 18 to 21 and then finally to 23 strings. Nguyen noted that he had made the instrument with the intention of playing both Asian and European music, as he had been educated in both forms and their variations. He observed that the Montagnard instruments of his reference had 5 knots or strings, and the European had 7. The sophisticated 23-string Dan Tray was created from basic and available materials and was based on Nguyen's extensive knowledge of music theory. The number of strings allows the instrument to cover a wide range of notes, therefore allowing it to play many forms of music. Montagnard is the French name assigned to the many ethnic groups occupying the central highlands of Vietnam. It is likely that Nguyen based his instrument on the so-called zithers of that region, especially of the Giai Ra group. Zithers in this region, such as the Dinh Gung, an example of which is shown here, utilise local bamboo and wood with a calabash, a type of gourd, as the resonator. Examples of the Dinh Gung, being of a similar size to the Dan Tray, generally feature between 9 and 13 strings. Nguyen was moved to a number of different camps during his time as a prisoner of the North Vietnamese. During that time, Nguyen was able to make improvements to the instruments, mainly increasing the number of strings, and teach one of his fellow prisoners how to play the Dan Tray. Interestingly, while Nguyen had not had a public musical performance as either a student or teacher of music, during his 6 years in the prisons of the Viet Cong, Nguyen performed for approximately 8,000 other prisoners with his Dan Tray. When Nguyen was released after 6 years, he left that instrument behind. In August 1981, Nguyen escaped from Vietnam by boat with his eldest son, Anton Nguyen, still fearing for his life under communist rule. In Nguyen's words, it was a miracle we escaped. It was also a miracle that they made it to the Philippines by boat, as they encountered strong storms en route and the boat nearly sank twice. The second Dan Tray was made by Nguyen while in the Palawan refugee camp in the Philippines. He recreated the instrument from memory, again using the material on hand. This is an example, one shot of the Palawan refugee camp, basically at the height of its time, although going towards the end, about 1990. Nguyen used bamboo, an olive oil tin, and some electrical line to create this Dan Tray. Nguyen initially used bamboo tuning keys in the instrument, making them from sharpened or shaped pieces of bamboo, which were then placed through holes in the body of the instrument. Nguyen stated that there was an abundance of bamboo in the Palawan camp, and it was a building material utilised for a number of different purposes. You can see it actually here, having been used for some of the housing material. Nguyen and Anton lived in difficult and overcrowded conditions at Palawan for 17 months. Nguyen recalled that there were 7,000 refugees in the camp when he arrived, with numbers having to increase to more than 10,000 during his stay there. Nguyen said that all the people were lucky. We had enough food, but the situation was so bad because we didn't have any houses to live in. We had to build our houses ourselves, make something to live in. We used trees from the forest. Nguyen acted as an information officer and translator in the camp. Nguyen's knowledge of English and the fact that he had an uncle living in Australia helped secure the transfer of Nguyen and his son to Australia in December 1982. He was able to take that second Dan Tray with him. Quarantine, of course, held it for about a 3-week period. In Australia, Nguyen struggled to find employment, unable to cope with the difficult Australian pronunciation. He worked for the Commonwealth Employment Service in Brisbane and then for a law firm in Sydney. Nguyen began playing his Dan Tray at public events and appeared on Channel 7's State Affair program in 1984. Later that year, Nguyen played a variety of music and explained the making of the Dan Tray to a conference of the Ethnic Communities Council of Queensland, which was concerned with locating and fostering different and endangered art forms amongst migrant groups in Australia. Nguyen's story and his Dan Tray earned him a certain amount of fame, and he attempted several times to patent his invention. Unfortunately, he was not successful, at least not to this point in time. During this period of performance, Nguyen replaced the bamboo keys, which were prone to slipping with the amount of performing he was doing, and he replaced them with the Australian-made screw assemblies that you can see here, also reinforcing the bamboo with the bracing at the top and bottom of the bamboo, and replacing the tin at the bottom. It's a slightly smaller tin than the one that he used in Palawan. He was also very pleased to finally place guitar strings on the instrument, oddly enough, believing that the quality of the sound would be better with guitar strings than the wire he'd been able to scrounge in the Palawan camp. Though Nguyen travelled to Australia with his eldest son, he could not be reunited with his wife and three other children for many years. He lived with his son, Anton, in Brisbane and Sydney, and began working as an immigration consultant in Australia in 1985, wishing to assist Vietnamese and Chinese families that were having difficulty coming to Australia, especially under the reunification scheme. He also took on a number of music students in Brisbane, but in order to support his family financially, Nguyen was unable to concentrate on his music. We don't need that page. Feeling loneliness and separation from his family, Nguyen did not wish to part with his Dan Tre. It was first loaned to the National Museum for a temporary exhibition. However, shortly after this contact, Nguyen's family, his wife, mother, and three children were able to travel to Australia, and he was happy to donate the Dan Tre. This is the family leaving Vietnam and then reunited in Australia. This part of the story illustrates the emotional attachment Nguyen has to the Dan Tre and the action it played in his life. The Dan Tre was, for Nguyen, a means of expression. In the mountains of Vietnam, in the Philippines, and in Australia, he was able to bridge the cultural differences he encountered, modifying and adapting the instrument and his use of it, and retelling his story as he played it. Music, as Nguyen stated, is part of Vietnamese tradition. In his words, "There is a lot of music and a folk song in Vietnam. The communists liked to make a different way. We turned back to our music." The history and qualities of Vietnamese music is a large area of research beyond the scope of today's discussion, and indeed much of the research that we can do for the gallery. Much of my research on the particularities of this history in relation to the Dan Tre has been drawn from the work of Vietnamese musicologist Le Thuan Hung. According to Hung, traditional Vietnamese music is based on the concept that music is a means of emotional expression. Tai Tu music, the chamber music of southern Vietnam, features four modes of expression: happiness, somberness, tranquility, and sadness. Put simply, by applying certain sets of technical conventions to their music, Vietnamese musicians are able to evoke these recognisable emotions for their audience. Hung continues, "Musical compositions in Hue and Tai Chu traditions are flexible and dynamic entities. Each composition provides performers with a melodic framework only. To play a piece of music, performers have to elaborate its framework in their own style. A performer's originality is highly regarded. In this sense, the act of composing a piece of music is a continuing process in which the performers add their final touches to the work. In the case of the Dan Tre, this continuing process can be seen as part of both the creation of the instrument and the performances undertaken by Nguyen. The Dan Tre has been inscribed with the details of the musical interpretation. When you get to have a chance to look at the instrument, there's all of the notation and numbering of the strings is all recorded on the back. Western notation is ascribed to each string, numbered 1 to 23. The complex arrangement of strings is organised into six groups and played in a C major scale. Nguyen drafted the relevant scales as part of his donation to the National Museum. There are many traditional and hybrid stringed instruments, or quarterphones, in Vietnam which could have influenced Nguyen's Dan Tre. These include the Dan Bao, a single stringed instrument, and the Dan Tran, which you see here, a 17 stringed instrument. The Dan Tran is a popular instrument throughout Vietnam that has undergone many changes to reach its present-day form. The number of strings was increased from 14 during the 14th century to 5 during the 1960s, with 17 strings becoming standard during the 1980s. Changes to the soundboard were also made, and silk strings were replaced by metal strings sometime in the late 19th century. Hung suggests that each modification was made in accordance to the technical advances and the demands of specific musical styles and performing context of the time. Much of this, it's recorded in the history of Vietnamese music. Many of the changes were also made according to the feelings of a particular artist, and many of those artists actually sort of have, in the history of Vietnamese music, they have the rights and the knowledge of those particular changes that they made. Nguyen's instrument could also have been influenced by the guzheng, a Chinese zither with 16 to 23 strings, given the influence of Chinese forms and theory on Vietnamese music. Other versions, possibly closely related, are found in Japan, Korea, and Mongolia. Bamboo forms the basis of these instruments, either in their traditional or modern forms. In many of those places, the physical and musical qualities of the instrument are explained as part of a broader cultural tradition. For example, the nature of the half or flat zither, like this one here, is often attributed to the splitting of a tube zither or a round zither, like the dan tray. The splitting to make basically two halves is attributed to either an act of a god, a mystical being, or a related natural event. There is a long history of adaptation and invention in Vietnamese music and instrument making. As Hung states, between the 1920s and 1940s, a number of musicians began to experiment with Western instruments in their search for new qualities and colours of sound. Most prominent among these instruments were the acoustic guitar and the violin. Vietnamese musicians adapted the Western instruments to enable them to produce the ornaments typical of Hue and Tai Tu musical compositions. A guitar with a curved fingerboard that's common throughout Vietnam is effectively a modified Western guitar, with the fingerboard filed by the musician into wavy shapes, and that was done to produce a richer variety of tones required for Vietnamese music. On again. When Nguyen made his valuable donation to the National Museum in 1990, he also provided recordings of his dan tray music and an oral history outlining both the story, his story, and the story of the dan tray. As part of my research for the Australian Journeys Gallery, I re-established contact with Nguyen early this year to learn more about the instrument and his life since the donation. He has returned to Vietnam on several occasions, maintaining contact with friends and family. Poor health and continuing commitment to support his family, though, has meant that Nguyen has not been able to pursue many of his musical interests. He has a strong connection to the dan tray to this day and still continues to discuss ways that he could improve the quality of the instrument and its musical range. In conclusion, I'd just like to show you a short piece of music played by Nguyen in 1984. It's interesting to note, and this is really the only way to show, that music itself is an active part of the story of the dan tray throughout its life. Whether Nguyen was playing Vietnamese, European, or in this case, Australian music on the instrument, it was part of his adaptation of the instrument over a number of years to be able to play many different types of music and an expression of his emotions at those particular times. Exactly. it's interesting, just noting this instrument, you can see the original bamboo tuning keys which he used and the different olive oil tin that was used at the base. But the piece of bamboo remains as it was in the Palawan refugee camp in the Philippines.
Jen, thank you. And I think it's particularly important to thank Jenny and other curators for making the time today.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.